of natural environment to grow enough food, it doesn't spell success for them. It really doesn't.
Well, certainly doesn't. The time 9:22. We're going back to the marketplace. We come back, we'll take your calls.
Did you know that you could be the first to... CII, bringing you the alternative view. This is CII.
Well, this is certainly the alternative view, and we're bringing you the alternative view on Barack Obama. Obama mania, which has gripped the world. But at the end of the day, what are the consequences for the rest of the world stemming off from the election of Barack Obama as president-elect of the United States of America? Daryl, here's an interesting one for you. And the text message says, in the Bush era, it was the right-wing Christians. In the Obama era, it is the right-wing Zionists. What is the difference?
The group of Christians that are Zionists are basically dupes. They were sold a bill of goods for their religion back 100 years ago when the Jews rewrote the Christian Bible. The Christian Bible was metatext. By metatexting, I mean in all the margins of the book. Picture for yourself the Quran having writing in the margin and somebody describing for you what you're supposed to understand about the Quran. Well, the Bible was written with these texts on the right side of each page describing how people were supposed to understand what was there. It was called the Scofield Bible. Now, it was written by Zionist Jews, and this is where they introduced the idea of rapture and the idea that there is a Judeo-Christian background to Christianity, where the fact of the matter is Christianity and Judaism throughout the 2,000-year history of Christianity have been opposed to one another. Why? Because Jesus stood in front of the temple and called these people vipers, the very people we're fighting today. And he said that you are Pharisees and that you are vipers and that you are the synagogue of Satan, is what he called them. And the simple fact is that the Judaism that is running Israel today is that very same group. And there is nothing Judeo-Christian about this relationship, but these Christians have been sold a lie, and they have paid, the Zionists have paid to introduce it to the rest of the United States, and they believe it. And sadly, they've got millions of followers. You've got people like Hagee and this guy Pat Robertson and many others forwarding this idea that Israel and the Jews are allies with Christians, and nothing could be farther from the truth.
Well, certainly. In fact, I'm going to go to the next one because I think people obviously are concerned. I've got just stacks of text messages that are coming through. I'd like some live callers coming through as well on 011-494-7007. This one says, salams to Daryl. What can we do to brace ourselves from this worldwide trash?
Well, first of all, if you've got access to land, any kind of land, you begin to prepare that land for cultivation. I would get appropriate food seeds in the ground if you want corn or even wheat or sorghum or peppers, onions, whatever it is, potatoes. I would begin to cultivate a garden and in any spot of land I can find that I can tend. I would immediately start cutting back on any kind of spending. Absolutely no new debt being taken on whatsoever. I would be preparing my family for shortages of all types, cooking oil and the like. I would be preparing them to see rioting in their immediate environment because people will be hungry and they'll be demanding food, and if you've got some of it, they might be trying to take it from you. I would be trying to find access to legal weapons, such as firearms. If I am able to have a legal weapon, I would certainly purchase one. If you are still permitted in South Africa to have hunting rifles, I would certainly consider having one in my home, and I would consider having appropriate amounts of ammunition to supply that weapon. And I would certainly start telling people around them what has happened to this world and how it took place, so that when the actions begin to take hold, when these sickening problems begin to emerge, we know who to go after and who to blame.
Thank you for that, Daryl. We're going to Abdullah in KZN. Assalamu alaikum.
Assalam, how are you, my brother?
Alhamdulillah, how are you keeping?
I'm very well, thank you. And how's my brother, Daryl?
Very well, thank you. And do you have a question for me tonight?
Yes, Daryl.
Brother Abdullah, just before you ask the question, is your receiver on?
Just let me just check, please.
Please, yeah, there seems to be quite a disturbance.
Okay, is it better now?
Yes, much better.
Okay. Daryl, I joined this debate quite late, you know, I was out. You know, in my eyes, there is no difference between the Republicans and the Democrats in the U.S. It is the same policy, they run one policy, they are one coin, and they are controlled by the neocons there, they are controlled by the right-wing Christians, and they have to follow the policies of the parties, and if they don't, eventually they do get murdered.
And well, so what's your question regarding that? You have a question?
Yes, my question is, what do you think that there will be a difference by Obama coming into power?
Well, no, and that's what we've been discussing for the last hour and a half. In fact, if you go back in history, all the way back to the founding of the Federal Reserve in 1913, there has been a continuous and unbroken string of criminal governments in America that have been used for different reasons around the world, including to throw World War One against the Germans, which, if you know anything about the Balfour signings, was inspired. That whole war was lost by Germany because the Zionists threw their support behind the British. Then you can see going all the way in through the 1920s, that implosion of the economy was done intentionally, the failure of the stock market through the 30s, so that they could gain stronger control over the American economy. And then the World War II's war machine was pumped up by these same criminals, Henry Kaiser and the rest, building ships and weapons for this military-industrial complex, also controlled by Zionism. And then all the way in through the nuclear age, which the Zionist Jews controlled lock, stock, and barrel, even including the transfer of that technology to Russia through the Rosenbergs. So the fact of the matter is that there's been an unbroken chain of criminal Zionism in the American government and the world since the dawn of this last century. So we're not looking at anything different, but you can go back further in history, back to Wellington and to the stealing of the entire British economy during the war, the Napoleonic Wars. And go in further back than that and go all the way to Lombardy when they imploded the goldsmiths imploded the economy of the Middle Ages. Now look, these guys have been, excuse me, they've been in business a long time, and they've never been outed on a worldwide level. This is the first time we've had a chance to actually get the entire world behind the truth. And this is a real opportunity. We've got to take it while we have it.
Daryl, just one more thing. You remember that when Obama was nominated for the Democratic Party to stand for presidency, the immediate thing he did, he had a meeting with AIPAC. What are your comments on that, please? And can I listen to you on the radio?
Please. Please do.
Okay, thank you.
Well, AIPAC, the American-Israeli Public Affairs Committee, which is one of their many organizations that control politics and society, but that's all run from the Jewish Agency of North America. The leading organization of Jewish power in the world is called the Jewish Agency. It always has been. But you don't see them in print. You see the organs of their control in print. B'nai B'rith, Anti-Defamation League, you see AIPAC, you see JINSA, you'll see your organizations, Zionist organizations in South Africa being run by this, the Jewish Agency of South Africa. So, but the fact of the matter is yes, both parties were standing at the podium of AIPAC, giving up their fealty to the Jews and to the Zionists. And sadly, in this battle, Anayat, not every Jew is involved. They have been lied to. There's a lot of righteous Jews out there who are going to be swept up in a pogrom that they don't understand, because they are believing in their heart that they're doing the right thing. Not the entire Jewish community is not amoral here. And we have to make that a clear point, that many of them have been lied to, like many people in Islam and many people in Christianity have been lied to. It's easy to follow the propaganda of the state. Talk to anybody who follows Gaddafi in his country, and you'll find that people who support him are delusional.
Mm.
You see, or the king of Morocco, they're delusional.
Well, Daryl, it's just like, you know, the millions of Americans, Afro-Americans, have actually been lied to as well by actually voting for this man. We're going across to Yusuf in KZN. Assalamu alaikum.
Walaikum salam, Inayat, and good evening, Daryl.
Hello, Yusuf. How are you, my
Daryl, friend? What I'd like to know from you is that Louis Farrakhan has described Barack Obama as a savior, and Jesse Jackson have all welcomed his election, as well as, you know, a lot of people who have, you know, voted for him. What is your opinion on that?
Well, first of all, Farrakhan's a big fraud today. Now, his beginnings may have been different, but he's been thoroughly and totally compromised, has been for a long time. You'll find the same kind of compromised leadership in the black community forever. You know, the blacks have been the most fractured of all political groups in America. They've never had anybody that really represented them honestly in society. And if you take a look at people like Al Sharpton out of New York, he's bought and paid for. Goodness only knows what kind of things they're hanging over his head. Jesse Jackson is a big philanderer. He's had several children out of wedlock. He's involved in with young girls 18, 19 years old that have been around his entourage and in his goodness knows what they do. But the fact is that these people sign on to this candidate because basically they have been compromised from the beginning here. Now, Farrakhan, on the other hand, he started out telling the truth, but this is an old deception. You'll find out that a lot of people in this truth movement in the United States trying to get the facts out will begin their careers telling the facts. And then once they get a big following, they shift from the facts to the lies. And they carry that following along with them into the abyss of nonsense. And that happens frequently. There are very few people who are time-testedly telling the facts. And the facts are easy to dig up if you're diligent. But this guy Farrakhan is leading a very large group of Islamic followers in the United States down the road to perdition, in my belief.
Hmm. The other thing I just would like to point out, as far as the appointment of Emmanuel is concerned, his dad actually said this: "What is he, an Arab? He's not going to clean the floors of the White House." Benjamin Emmanuel told the Israeli Daily. That basically sums up the the discourse that you have been giving.
Yes, well, I mean, he's an Irgun murderer who worked side by side with Menachem Begin and helped to murder those people in the King David Hotel, and then tried to blame it on Islam, but they got caught. They got caught in the Levant affair in Egypt as well, in Cairo. Islamic terrorism has its front men that are from Islam, but they're not Islamic people. They're basically Middle Eastern people who have no faith, who work for the Israelis, who wear the outward appearance of being from Islam, and they're false flag terrorists working for Israel, and that's been the case forever. And the Irgun has been behind many of them, and it's morphed into the Shin Bet and into the Mossad.
Thank you, Daryl.
Shukran for that, Brother Yusuf. We're going across to KZN. We've got Rasulbhai. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. Wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Good evening, Daryl.
Good evening.
Your comments on the following, please. Mr. Gaddafi has offered the Russians a base in Libya. Is there a method in his madness? Secondly, the effect of digital technology in educating the masses, the importance of alternative media, as has been shown that Obama made good use of digital technology. Lastly, and very important, I think, the pressure to be put on the international court that there is ample evidence to show that the Bush government and his accomplices should now stand trial for the mass murder in all the country, in most of the countries. Thanks very much.
Okay, let me answer them one by one after another.
Thank you.
In my view, and I have... dug up enough information on this, but I believe that the Russians have been secretly working with the Zionists from the beginning. You'll find a man named Levini, from the richest man in Israel, has inside contact every day with people like Putin and Medvedev. Medvedev is a Zionist Jew, admittedly. He was born from a Jewish community. The fact is the Jews have never relinquished their control over Russia, and it's been my belief that what's going to happen is, because America has been negatively seen in the world, that what's going to happen is people are going to move toward the Russians for protection, and then they're going to be disappointed when they find out Russia sells them out to Zionist Jews. And I believe that that's a probability, and you're going to see that kind of thing happening throughout Islam, because you're seeing Iran follow the support of Russia. And what's happening is that Russia is, take a look at it objectively. Almost every oil center in the world right now is allying itself with Russia. Do you think that's by mistake? I think it's by design. And what's going to happen ultimately is, when America falls from grace completely, Putin will put the lock down on the entire world supply of oil, and he'll hand it over to the Zionist controllers. And that's my view on it. And you'll see the relationship building with him and Venezuela, one of the largest suppliers of oil to the north, to the American continents. And you'll also see it happening with Libya. You'll see it happening with Iran. And you also know that Russia produces more oil than any country on earth, including Saudi Arabia. So the fact of the matter is, once all this stuff, all the dust settles, and everybody's given over their allegiance to Putin, Putin's just going to turn this stuff over to the Zionist Jews, in my opinion.
Daryl, we'll come back to the other two questions. The one was the use of digital technology and Bush standing trial. Let me just take this call first. We've got Brother Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam, brother. Hello?
Yes, we can hear you, brother.
Brother.
Go ahead, Muhammad.
I just got a question for you. You've mentioned a lot of countries, but you haven't mentioned China. Is that the grand prize that the Zionists are going after?
Yes, they are, and you'll note that back in the mid-90s, the first bank that was invited to be a private bank in China from outside of China was N.M. Rothschild. You'll also note that Lazard Frere and their investment arm, which is another Rothschild company that's a filial to the rest of them, you'll note that they are also big in China, and most of these factories in the Shenzhen province and around the Kulon province and throughout central China have been built by Jewish Zionist money. And you'll note that all of the manufacturing, like Nike and all of the Reebok and many of the television sets, RCA Victor and the rest of them, Panasonic, they're all Zionist invested companies. So China is bought and paid for.
Thank you for that, Daryl. We're going to go for another break. We come back. I've got just stacks of text messages, and I think we're going to run through them very, very quickly, Daryl.
Open weekdays between 7 a.m. and 9 p.m. and weekends between 10 a.m. and 12 p.m. That's the ABSAY Travel Clinic.
Granddad, I see you enjoy real financial security.
This is CII.
On to the final stretch. We've got about 15 minutes or so to end the program. And, Daryl, just to get through to the questions, just following up from the last caller, there were two questions. One was Obama's use of digital technology.
Well, the digital technology, basically, he's pushing people toward Internet 2. And Internet 2 is going to require everybody on the net register before they have access to the World Wide Web. This is going to spell the end of my truth on the Internet and many other people. And, you know, once I fall off the radar, they'll come and take care of me with some lead, I'm sure. But the fact of the matter is that he did use networking with young people and college campuses, because, again, everybody was looking for anybody but George. You know, they didn't want George Bush to be the leader of anything, so Barack Obama just used the technology at hand to do that. But I urge everybody to get educated on Internet 2 and find out exactly what that's going to mean for your local audience, because the World Wide Web is going to be shut down for truth-telling as soon as they can possibly get it done. The other question was, and I...
Was regard to Bush being brought in front of the International Court of Justice.
I have zero confidence in that. Zero. The Those entire courts were set up by these people. They're not going to bring them. If they do it, it'll be for a show trial. You know, the fact of the matter is you take a look at The Hague, Carlo Ponti running the thing against Slobodan Milosevic. Milosevic was a nationalist trying to stop the Jews from setting up banking in Serbia. And the simple fact of the matter is he was railroaded into this court situation, and it's the same nonsense. They don't let the truth come out in any of those court trials, and that's just a fraud. It was set up by the UN, and the UN is an organ of the Zionist control. And that's been since the days of Wilson trying to set up the League of Nations. He was controlled by the Jews as well. So, look, you know, we think that the systems that we have in place in our world are going to protect us, when in fact time and time again we find out that they have never been there to protect us, but rather to deceive us and protect the criminals in charge.
The next one reads, do you believe Obama would be less of a comic than his predecessor?
Comic? George Bush is just a moron. The guy hasn't got the brains he was born with. The fact is, George Bush was the son of a high level CIA operative from the 1960s, who was instrumental in inflicting the drug damage on America through the 60s, 70s, 80s, and 90s. He imported heroin during the Vietnam War into America and made billions. He imported cocaine in the 80s and 90s into America and made billions. And he found himself ensconced in a power position as a puppet. George Bush Sr. and George Bush Jr. are only leg men for the criminals. They don't have any control of the policy. The policy is made many levels above them, at the level of above Kissinger, above Schultz, and above Zbigniew Brzezinski. So what we need to understand here is that they have their henchmen on the ground, but the real decision makers are far above them.
The next one reads, is the center of world power for one world government being moved to Jerusalem?
Well, everybody that I know is in the top leadership positions of the world are outside of Israel, although Israel seems to be it's kind of like the central point for the crooks to send their criminals out into the world, you know, through Herzliya and the Mossad, or through their crime gangs. But you'll note that the biggest players, like Warburg, like Kahn, like the Brothmans, they don't live in Israel. The fact is, I see most of the old European Jewry in charge of this crime gang. They have their henchmen in America, they have them in Canada, they have them in Australia, but the big leadership is in Europe and parts of, you know, few of them in America and few of them in other places. In France, of course, we have our crooks. No, I don't see Israel as being the focal point. However, they may set up their front company, their front government out of Jerusalem, yes.
We've got another 5 or 6 minutes for anyone wanting to call in, 011-494-7007. The next one reads, Daryl, Salaams Inayat, and Daryl, I tried to spread this message, but no one's really interested. All prefer to be ostriches.
That may be true until they're scratching on the ground for food.
No. Short and sweet. Alright, the next one says, is the chaos in South African politics, the new breakaway party, etc., part of this whole scandal? What is your opinion on Jacob Zuma, Lesua Makota, and Thabo Mbeki?
I have looked into superficially looked into the fights going on in South African politics. They don't seem to be materially different than any of the other nonsensical battles I see in Britain and France and America and Canada. What I see is, if you want to know who's running things, who runs your banks, who runs your biggest companies, who runs the money, where does the money come from, where does it go, and who ends up benefiting from it, they profit by having dissension on ground. They don't want unity in politics. They want people fighting because it's good theater. The fact of the matter is out of that theater, they run things from behind, because when people are paying attention to the surface issues, they're not seeing who's really doing things from behind. And that whole policy has worked quite well in Europe and America for generations. And the fact is that it works well in South Africa. It works well in every instance, and that's why they use it. The African National Congress and their candidates that work on the ground are only there as a control mechanism of the public. But the fact is, take a look at this. Most of your politicians in South Africa who get elected are not even aware of the depth of this conspiracy. And many of them might hear this broadcast at some point and begin to say, Now, see, in the American society, the Jewish control of our society has been so evident for such a long time that they have to earmark huge amounts of control over the individual politicians. But in small countries around the world that are not as sophisticated with their control, they don't have to stoop to these measures. They can put ignorant people who have not got the education on what's really happening to them, in positions of power and just manipulate them, simply. But you'll note that your population in South Africa has a very small Jewish community, but if you start digging through the ownership of all your major companies and all the money in the banks, you'll find out they have every bit of control. And where the money is where the power is.
We're going to the next caller. We've got Ismail in Newtown. Assalamu alaikum, Brother Ismail.
Wa alaikum salam. Jazakallah for an excellent show. I've just got two quick questions for Darren. Firstly, I'd like to ask him that he hasn't gone into much detail on Afghanistan and on Osama bin Laden. I mean, a lot of rumors of whether he's alive or he's dead and which country is he in. So I'd just like Daryl to comment on that. And secondly, we're hearing that David Cameron is the next president-elect of Britain. We don't have much information on him, and he hasn't come across very clear on his policies. So I'd just like Daryl to comment on these two issues.
I did comment on Osama bin Laden being dead. He is dead. He's gone. He's not around. In my view, the man has been dead since 2002. Of course, everyone was aware that he had kidney dialysis machines hooked up to his body once every 2 weeks, I think, or once a week. I don't know how they got their kidney dialysis machines in the caves of Tora Bora. The idea that this guy was even in Tora Bora is a farce. And I mean, he is just a boogeyman. The guy has been just a front man, being sold worldwide as the bad guy with a face from Islam. Simple truth is, it's a lie. And in fact, there is strong evidence to say that this man is, his mother is a Yemeni Jew. And check into that on the internet. Second thing about Afghanistan, I did cover the fractionalization of that nation. The countryside is controlled by warlords that are hooked into the drug trade, and the cities are controlled by people like Karzai, who was put there by Conoco and the oil companies. And that's just one big crime network. Is the whole place is just a septic tank of crime and drugs and money laundering and sickness. It's just the Afghan people are in bad shape, bad shape, and I have the most empathy for what they're going through over there. They've been victimized for hundreds of years in that area, but it continues.
Thanks for that, Daryl. We're going to Abu Bakr, KZN. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum salam. Daryl, could you please shed some light on Dominic Strauss-Kahn's counterpart in the World Bank, that's Robert Zoellick, and also enlighten us on the what exactly is fiat money and how it is created. Thank you. Bye-bye. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
Zoellick was put into power by a Bush nomination, but of course he doesn't nominate anybody. In fact, the Jewish controller, Zoellick is Jewish, he's a Zionist. And the World Bank basically is a bailout system. What the World Bank does is it gives bridge loans to countries. The International Monetary Fund actually works with the Swiss Bank of International Settlements, and is actually talking about printing their own money. But going back to Zoellick, they're basically two finance men who go around the world promising governments that are failing, they'll give them money if these countries sign over their assets, sign over the control of their road systems to privatization, or their rubbish pickup to privatization, or their national park lands to the logging, or to gold mining, or whatever other asset these criminals can steal from the governments. And we see a good example of what these two groups, the IMF and World Bank, do when you take a look at the history of, for example, Malaysia, when Mahathir Mohamad was running the country, and what they tried to do with that country by forcing it to become a subservient to these two organizations. They're basically just part of the Jewish banking structure that works outside of a single government control. And they've got huge sums of money. 25% of their cash comes in from the United States, the rest from countries around the world. But in fact, it's just banking from Zionism. Now, fiat currency is basically printing money without anything to substantiate it. There is no standard behind it. And this is why we have this rampant inflation worldwide, because everybody has signed on to an idea that money in itself has the value as a medium of exchange rather than what it represents. And money has always, for 5,000 years of human history, at least, up until 100 years ago, been represented by something of value behind the currency. And every time a fiat system has been implemented, it failed. And it's failing now. And it was designed to fail. And they were planning for this implosion for a very long time. This is not a mistake. It was designed to fail. The only real money in the world is gold and silver. End of story.
Daryl, we've still got a number of text messages, so we're going to go through them very quickly. This one says, when you talk about worldwide poverty, what should we as ordinary people do to counteract it? Do you have a youth foundation that people can join to help educate and guide our youth?
No, I don't. And I don't have... Look, I'm one guy who is... I was given a gift in my life of being a curious man with a great capacity to remember. I remember stuff I read 20 years ago, and I can give it back to you word for word. I just had that benefit in my life. And when I sunk my teeth into these facts because of my disgust with what I saw around me, I became an expert on it because I spend the time to become one. I've spent 7, 8, 10 hours a day learning about this stuff, and I've used people who preceded me to bring my understanding of the facts. Now, many of the connecting of the dots, which is really what my strength is, connecting dots, because I've been proven right so many times, that's coming from my ability to kind of read into things what I see. Because I'm not privy to the facts to the things they're doing firsthand. I'm not there to see what they do. I have to read what their actions are on the ground to make my decisions. But I've been repeatedly correct over and over again, and I base that on my studies of history and of the documents that I can uncover in the present world and what I know about their history in the past. So there is no youth thing I can point you to. In fact, you know, I am absolutely stone broke over here in France. I don't get support from anybody financially to keep this broadcast going, and that's a shame, because these people are financed to the tune of billions, and Daryl Bradford Smith is financed to the tune of zero. And if I had more abilities financially, I would put up more websites and more information, but I struggle with that, Anayat, and it seems maybe that this is the will of some power bigger than me, that I stay without any resources. I don't know. Maybe this has to be grassroots. Maybe that was the intention.
Maybe it was intention. Daryl, the next one says, should South Africans who have investments and cash in bank accounts be worried?
Yes.
Right, short and sweet. We're going to go through them very, very quickly. How did such a tiny place like Israel manage to have so much influence in the world?
That's self-evident, isn't it? I mean, it was set up as a criminal country that they could run their operations out of. It's kind of like the country that has no extradition with any other nation. It's where they could get away with crimes to be committed worldwide. And they used their control over the media to build this country up as some sort of good thing for the world, when in fact it's just a poison for the world. Now, that doesn't mean every Jew living in that country is aware of the poison that nation spews everywhere, but they've used zealot Jewish followers to build up a criminal network. It's basically a mafia that's running Israel. And it's basically that mafia, by extension, that's running the world. And you look behind every major government and every major military operation in the world, and you'll see Zionist control with roots to Israel, America, Britain, and France.
The next one says, Daryl, aren't you scared to be driving the stuff? Please keep safe. May Allah always guide you towards the truth and spreading it.
Yeah, I'm afraid. I mean, I got a family. I love them very much. And like I said in the previous previous text message, I struggle here. Like you have no idea. And yeah, I'm afraid. Not afraid. Look, we all got to die one day. I mean, the fact is, I'm 51 years old. I don't want to make my day today or tomorrow. But look, what's my option here? The option is. Curl up into a little ball and just shrivel away? No. This is time for courageous people to stand up. If everybody withers like a coward, we're going to become victims and slaves for the rest of for the duration of the human family. We're never going to arise above these people. The fact is we have to be courageous. We have to sacrifice. And unless and until people can stand up and understand that in order to win your freedom for your family and your children and generations to come, you might have to stand up and sacrifice. That's the facts. You might have to stand up and even give up your life. Well, you know what? I'm willing to do that because I'm not going to let my kids grow up in this septic tank of a world that is being built by these criminals. I just refuse.
The next one, in fact, I'm going to go through the final one, and says, should people be cashing their cash for gold?
I'm not legally able to give financial advice, but what I say gold is good for is, gold is the one thing that will always be accepted as payment no matter when or where or how things turn out in the future. So as an insurance policy against what I know is on its way, gold is a good idea. As far as you making money on it, if you think you're going to start earning a lot of money on it, that's the wrong reason to buy gold. The reason you should have gold is because gold is the only real money in the world. And in the next phase of this financial debacle, it is going to be paramount to have something that people will accept in exchange for that gold. So, yes, it is important to have it.
Well, Daryl, it's 10 p.m. on the button. I know you've got another hour with us on CII. Time for me to sign off, and I must say thank you very much for a most absorbing 2 hours.
Well, it went real quick, and I want to thank your listeners and you, my friend. I didn't think we'd go this fast, but boy, oh boy, did it pass speed ahead, didn't it?
Absolutely, absolutely, Daryl. It's been, you know, wonderful talking with you, and I'm certain, you know, you've shed a lot of light today on the discussion, and especially in view of Obama's election to the presidency of America. Thank you very much, Daryl, once again.
You're very welcome, and I thank you.
CIINetwork.net. Now, you can tune into CII anywhere, anytime.
If a person does not have sincerity,
surely then your education will be much more valuable.
And who brings you to all this?
Log on to CIINetwork.net for the latest Islamic trends.
You're raising a green flag.
It's an absolutely.
News.
Zahid Asmal. CII News. Bande Aceh, Indonesia.
Nashiz. Useful information.
This is what I'm saying to the Muslims.
Finance.
And on the European markets, where the
and more. Log on now. That's CIINetwork.net.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome, welcome, welcome to the French Connections Friday edition. Today's date is the 14th day of November 2008. My name is Daryl Bradford Smith. Great to have you here with me again for this most important of broadcasts. For those of you who have stayed tuned into CII for the French Connection are aware that I just came off of Anayat Wadi's program, Intellectual Challenge, and we'll be here with you for the next 50 minutes or so. I have a guest coming in at the bottom of this half hour. His name is Ron Francis. He is he's fighting for the recognition of Palestine as a crime against humanity, and he's trying to separate investments from the cities and towns in Massachusetts who have been investing in Israel. He's trying to stop investment into Israel on the grounds that Israel is a criminal apartheid state who have abused the Palestinians. And in fact, he's been in the last election cycle. and this is important stuff, and I'm going to let him do the describing of this in about 20 minutes. He has been successful in two very large cities in Massachusetts outside of Boston. One of them, Cambridge, where you'll find Harvard University, and another one called Somerville, where the people voted to sanction their governments within these cities not to invest in anything Israeli because Israel is a criminal state, acting against the interests of Palestinians and murdering and subjugating them and not giving them rights and acting in an apartheid manner, dual laws for these groups and dual systems and it's just horrendous what's happened to Palestine. I've been fighting for the Palestinian cause for the last several years here, and try to make it part of a regular cycle of information that I provide, because, ladies and gentlemen, they have been victimized for the longest right now in our modern era. Of course, we have other areas on the globe that are being victimized by these criminals, but the Palestinians have been suffering the longest in this modern time, and their children and their families and their homes and their communities are being decimated by Zionist Jews. And in fact, the anger of the Jewish community toward the Palestinians is actually getting worse, not better, because of all of the activity politically in the world, and so they want to destroy the Gaza Strip and the West Bank completely. They don't want a single Palestinian left on that land. You'll note that their homes have been razed to the ground by bulldozers. You'll note that their fields and their trees, their olive trees, have been destroyed and uprooted, and their water systems have been shut off. Their electric now, today, latest thing, their electricity has been shut off in Gaza. Their medicines have not shown up. Their visits to hospitals have been stopped. What the Israelis are, in effect, are monsters. These are genocidal, homicidal monsters that are perpetrating these crimes. And anybody in Israel who has two eyes to read knows what their government's doing, and they are absolutely culpable in every sense as a public. You know, I do not excuse America for the things they've done in Iraq. None. I don't excuse it. Now, even though they have been doing it on behalf of the Israeli Zionist movement, the American people have to take some of the responsibility for being too lazy to look into the truth. The truth is available for people if they're willing to spend any time being investigative about it. Now, you know, coming from the Islamic community, many of my listeners have been made aware of the crimes of Israel in a different way than the American public. You know, you've had bastions of truth voicing these facts to you differently than the American public has. So what we get is CNN, which is a Zionist-controlled organization, and you will get CBS and Fox News and all of these mouthpieces for the crime gang telling us the facts. And, of course, we know that they're not facts. They're in fact, deceptions and lies. And, you know, if you have any faith in your government, which many Americans still do, they believe the lies. They believe the deception. And so they make their decisions based upon this deception that they believe in. No different than anybody else. I mean, you know, if you're a parent and your son, in his big smiley face, says to you, "I didn't do it, Mommy or Daddy, I didn't do it, I didn't do it," and you say, "Okay, I trust you, you're my son." And all of a sudden, it comes clear that, in fact, your child may have been lying to you. This happens in families. And it's a rude awakening for a parent to find that out, that they had been deceived by their child, or vice versa. You know, a wife says, "You've been cheating on me in this relationship," and the husband says, no I haven't, and then lo and behold, the truth comes out, and the wife stands there saying, "How could I have not known? I didn't know the truth." Well, these kinds of things happen in families. Well, guess what? They happen in countries too. We want to trust our governments. We send them our tax dollars. We send them our children to fight wars for them. We say that they represent us in the world, on the world stage, and we want them to be good. We want them to be honest. We want them to be righteous. And so we give them a lot of latitude when it comes to the things they tell us that are true and not true. And as a result of that, we end up being deceived when our governments are criminal. And our government in the United, my government in the United States is a criminal organization. There is absolutely no doubt about that. The evidence is absolutely 100% clear. And now, does that mean the American people, if they knew the truth, would support this? Well, the fact is they don't support it. The Congress has 11% approval rating. They don't support the president. They thought he was a crook and an imbecile and a liar. So they elected another crook. Why? Because they haven't made the connection yet that the same criminals running George Bush are the same criminals running the media. That is going to change, because as they find out that Barack Obama is nothing more than a stand-in with a better ability to speak to the public in speeches than George Bush was, but he works for the same crooks, they're going to realize that they've been had once again, yet again, and that the Democrat and Republican parties are one and the same thing, and that they have been duped and lied to by the mainstream media, which, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, is losing money hand over fist.